Well, how you doing? Zach Costin,
TJ Laramie,
Adam Henrique,
Joe Siddle, Megan
Augusta, Tyrone Crawford.
Holy Mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody, and welcome back to the Wind City Sports Podcast, presented by Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. My name is Drake Moore, and I'm your host for the Wind City Sports Podcast every Monday, anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Windsor's only local sports podcast, bringing you interviews with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more every Monday. Again, anywhere podcasts are found. We also have a huge social media presence on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at WindCity_sports. We also have a YouTube channel. So give us a subscribe, follow, like, whatever it may be, and give us a review, hopefully a good review out of 5 stars on whatever platform, social media, or podcasting app you might use. And as well, spread the word, tell your friends about the Wind City Sports Podcast, and let us know what you think in any way you possibly can. And today is Monday, February 7th, 2022, and it's episode 243 of Wind City Sports. As of now, we're about 20 days out from the NBL of Canada, of the Windsor Express home opener at the WFCU Center. 2 weeks from this Saturday, the Express will be at the WFCU Center, welcoming in the Kitchener-Waterloo Titans for the first home game of the season. They're going to be kicking things off the Monday before that on Family Day up in the greater Sudbury area, taking on the Sudbury Five. But our first basketball game back in Windsor in 2 years, you know, if not close to it. And today on the Wind City Sports Podcast, we have a guy coming to talk about the return of the NBL of Canada, the return of the Windsor Express, and we have the president, CEO of the club joining us on the show today is Dartus Willis. This is a great conversation because not only obviously we're going to talk about the return of basketball, talk a lot about a lot of history in Windsor in regards to basketball and him seeing that from the American side of things and going back to our deep, deep history of basketball all the way into the 1930s. So there's a lot to talk about with Dartus on the show today. Obviously very excited for the return of basketball and looking forward to what the Express can do and a little bit of a revamped NBL of Canada down to 4 teams now. So more of a chance to win the championship, of course, and building a great team, as we'll talk about with Dartus, adding MVP of the league from seasons past, Billy White, and a former Express as well, spent some time here. So decided to come back, talk about that, talk about what might be new for the NBL of Canada or Windsor Express fans at the WFCU, and of course the possibility of moving that team downtown to the possibly renovated Windsor Arena. So lots to talk about with Dartus. I wish that there was a little bit of more basketball news to talk about. The Windsor Lancers basketball team is gearing up to return to the court very soon. So we'll talk about that, of course, but we'll get you caught up with our Windsor Spitfires, see what else is in the news, and talk about that throughout the show before and after our interview with CEO and president of the Windsor Express, Dartus Willis. He's been with the team for 9 years now, the whole tenure of the Windsor Express coming in after the first season of the NBL of Canada. But before we get into any of that, we'll have to talk about a few things throughout the show. But I want to tell you about Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC in Amherstburg on Sandwich Street South. My friends down at Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC, they have extended their holiday countdown event into 2022 and have great deals this week on the new 2022 Chevrolet Blazer. That is our feature product of the week, but we do also have great deals, $25,000 or less, on 2021 models in the Chevrolet Camaro, Chevrolet Silverado, and the GMC Savannah. Now that's a cargo van. And no matter what market you're in, Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC is proud to serve all drivers throughout Amherstburg, Windsor, Kingsville, LaSalle, and beyond. They believe in providing top quality service to everyone that walks through the doors, and this includes assistance with picking out a new ride, financing it, and keeping it in top quality condition. If you're in the car market and you're looking to buy, sell, or trade, definitely check out Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC on Sandwich Street South. Go check out their showroom or check out their website, AmherstburgGM.com. Again, that's Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC, AmherstburgGM.com. And I've decided I want to keep talking some basketball at the beginning of the show here. We'll get you caught up a little as much as I can with our local basketball teams until the Windsor Express and the NBL of Canada kick things back off later on this month, at the end of the month. But Windsor men's Lancers basketball team have a ton of games postponed. They have a record of 3-4. They won their last game at the end of the year against Laurier, but coming up next, they will get back into action starting next Saturday when they travel up to Guelph to take on the Brock Badgers at 6 p.m. on Saturday the 12th. From there, they're full swing back in action with another two games that week. And at least as of now, that's all they got. So then they'll have to make up all their postponed games throughout March and get back on track. Women's basketball team is in the exact same boat with a record of 2-5, though, this year. Struggling year for our girls, but they have three games scheduled the week next. So starting February 12th, again, they're taking on the Brock Badgers on Saturday prior to the men's game. And then throughout that week, they will be taking on the Western Mustangs for a home-and-home throughout the week, and then make up all their postponed games. The St. Clair Saints men's basketball team is going to be kicking things back off. 1 week from the Saturday, on February the 19th, they're going to be welcoming the Conestoga Condors. That's a Saturday night game, and then following that on Sunday, they'll have a 3 p.m. game against the Niagara Knights, so Saints basketball back in action as well. And we can't forget about the Lady Saints as well. They actually have a different schedule and they're kicking things back off this Wednesday as they take on Lambton with a little home and home this week, playing Lambton on Wednesday and Friday. They'll be in Sarnia on Friday. From there, they're back in action. They got pretty much a game or two every week. And their next home game will be against Sheridan following this Wednesday when they take on Sheridan on February the 20th. But I think it's that time of the week we get into our interview with CEO and president of the Windsor Express of the NBL Canada, Dartus Willis. Following that, we're going to talk about, you know, the Windsor Spitfires. Tell you a little bit about the Windsor Express that you might not have heard in the interview here. But without further ado, let's jump into that interview with Dartus Willis. Here we go. Right now, I'm joined by the man behind the Windsor Express. He helped bring the franchise here to the city in 2012, and for nearly 10 years has acted as the president and CEO, Dartus Willis. Welcome to the show, man.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me, and excited to share some information with you guys.
Yeah, me too, man. I mean, you must be really excited. I'm sure the fans are, as well as myself. I mean, the return of the league is just around the corner, so.
Well, you know what? The Windsor community, the Windsor Express basketball team has a big part in my heart, and so it's really good to see it continue. You know, with COVID and the scare to all the businesses, you know, you sometimes question whether or not things will be the same. But fortunately, yeah, you know, we weathered most of the storm, and we will be back. You know, kicking off February 26th on the home opener, so. I'm excited, and I'm looking forward to some great, providing the community, like always,
yeah,
some great entertainment, man, and then basketball on top. That's how I like to say it. We're in entertainment, and basketball is the plus.
Absolutely, and that's something that we're going to talk about a lot. And before we get kind of too deep into it, you kind of mentioned giving to the community entertainment, like you mentioned. But one thing I wanted to kind of throw back to you is just during this whole pandemic, with the struggle, unfortunately, of the league not being able to play, I really admired how you guys really kept involved in the community, just at events and stuff, still, you know, bringing your presence there, even though, you know, there wasn't a lot of, well, obviously no games for almost 2 years. I just thought it was really cool that you guys, you know, kept your involvement in the Windsor community.
Well, you know what? I'd like to give that credit to the team GM, who was a University of Windsor grad, who's the GM of the team, and she sought to make sure that the presence of the team and the community stayed together and see what we could do to just, you know, add a little relief to everybody,
yeah,
during this time. And so, you know, I'd like to give that credit because they understand, they've taken the challenge to make sure that we continue what we built and continue doing what we do with the community. So I'm so proud of the young people that run the team for me. You know, they take it personal, and they really try to keep up what we've set as objectives and that is simply making sure we are community engaged pro basketball and pro entertainment.
That's awesome, man. It was really cool to see, and you know, I love the community involvement, and I love the team, of course. So it's been a long road to get here too. So let's kind of rewind a little bit. How did you kind of first get involved with the league or the team? I guess, you know, what came first, the egg or the bird?
Well, you know what? My best friend was the founder of the National Basketball League of Canada.
Okay.
And he asked me to early on help him set up just kind of the strategic mission, vision, values of the National Basketball League of Canada. And so I just did some initial work with him, and I identified that in our market analysis that Windsor was one of the markets that they were trying to put into the National Basketball League of Canada. So at that point, being very close to the original seven teams and the owners and all of those guys, early on I decided that, guess what, before the first year started, that Windsor would be a great market for me, and because it was so close to home,
yeah,
and that I wanted to bring pro basketball to Windsor. And so I decided, not even before their original first inaugural season, that I wanted to bring basketball to Windsor. And so I put a nice big chunk of money down with the league, and I bought the Windsor market, and have not looked back since. We came in year two and never looked back. And so we've had some good times, bad times, rough times, great times. And it's been a trip and a half, almost 10 years later. Next year is our 10th anniversary for our team.
Yeah.
But we've been around actually for 10 years because I started marketing very early into the inaugural season that Windsor would be a market.
Wow. So obviously you're around from the very beginning days. Something I wanted to ask, you know, again, getting involved with the league, getting involved in the team. And for those who don't know, you're from just across the border there in Michigan. Long line of education for yourself, and kind of probably led to you know, your role as an advisor or owner, and you know, whatever else you might do. So kind of I can also imagine being a basketball fan, kind of blending the two together, right?
That's right. You know what, Windsor has been special to me and my family. My dad worked over on this side of the border, and over at the OGM Trim plant.
Okay.
And so it was nothing for us as a family back when my dad was around to come across the border and shop, come across the border and eat. So I was very familiar with Windsor and its early days before the riverfront looked the way it did. And so I, you know, for me, Windsor was a place as a youth. I got a chance to come over and hang out and have a good time and party like early on when the bars are very hopping downtown. And so it was a natural fit for me. You know, I was educated at Wilberforce University, then Wayne State University, then Lawrence Technological University. And so I had friends from in my early young adult days that were from Windsor. So as a youth with my family, as a young adult with my friends from college and those things, Windsor was a special place to all of us, and I had friends over here. So when it was time to pick a market, it was a no-brainer for me because Windsor was home. And so I travel across the border every day for the last 10 years. I cross every day. I cross this morning in the tunnel. I'm sure I'll continue to cross and go back every day. It's a simple trip. And, you know, I'm across the border and from my home within 20 minutes. So it's not a big trip. You know, Windsor is Detroit. Detroit is Windsor.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just love that connection.
Absolutely, man. Me too. And it's very cool to hear, especially during these pandemic years, jealous of people crossing the border a little bit. But that's cool. You mentioned all that stuff about Windsor. I didn't, you know, I was going to ask, you know, how you were familiar with Windsor, and it's a very interesting story. So what I want to further that into is, like, you know, you're familiar with Windsor, but why did you think it would be a good basketball market?
Well, Well, you know what? I knew of basketball prior to the league from Windsor. And guys like Mike Berkovich, who played with Michigan State, and Magic Johnson really had a great impression of basketball overall. But before Mike Berkovich, there were all types of heavy basketball leagues and high school basketball and college basketball that transcend just Windsor. It went back and forth across the border. Back in the day, we never needed a ID to cross or a passport. You just use your driver's license and you come across it. So we would come over and play basketball right in front of the arena. We would the guys from Windsor would come across and play in Detroit. And so basketball in this area back then is what Toronto is today. So basketball and all of the great basketball players that came from this area, because of the high minority status of an urban setting, there were a ton of basketball guys. They didn't have a ton of money, but they could put on a pair of gym shoes and shorts and play, and they went back and forth across the border. And it was a hell of a basketball community. I can go through a ton of names that have solidified basketball as being a good sport here in Windsor. And then eventually, as Toronto area grew, basketball became, that became the mecca in a sense of creating talent. But well before that, Windsor area was the backup basketball mecca in Canada. Not only that, we were also the first 80% or 90%, excuse me, of the first team that made it to the Olympics from Canada was from Windsor. And I think it was the 1934 Olympics when we won the silver. The Americans beat us. But basketball, obviously founded by Naismith, but in this area, basketball was big because of the Olympics that we did, because of all the basketball that was played. And so a lot of people just don't know how big it was, but it was really big back and forth across the border.
Mm-hmm. So again, you kind of hit the nail right on the head, man. It's just that, you know, it was a long time ago, so a lot of people aren't aware of the rich history that we have here in Windsor. And of course, you know, we can name names like you know, from recent years, but the deep history goes back so far.
Oh yeah, there was a book written by a good friend of mine who just recently passed.
Yeah,
his name is Bob Turner.
Yeah,
and Bob Turner he wrote two books, and it was all about basketball, and it touched upon Naismith and how the founder of basketball and how big basketball was in this area. And he featured us, he featured every basketball element. And so it would just blow you away. And a lot of the basketball happened before me. You know, I'm 57, but and I'm a very youthful spirit, but it happened prior to me. And so I think I graduated from high school in 83. But the heavy basketball happened from the early 40s all the way through current. So, as you know, we right now have a kid, James or Mulder, that played in the NBA from Windsor.
Yeah.
And so Mulder, his dad, great guy, raised the kid, and he played with the Phoenix Suns, I think it was, and he just got released. But anyway, this guy played right there with the best shooter in history. And so Windsor still is pumping out some good talent, and it's just exciting to see what the coaches, what the elements of basketball are trying to recreate right now. So I got to give them credit that they're really trying to grow basketball. I'm a part of just making sure I support those efforts. And so hopefully we can bring basketball back to its original status here in the area.
Yeah, and that's exactly kind of the message that needs to be put out still, you know, is just to kind of create that awareness, like you're talking about. And to fall back on that, a great example in Michael Mulder, like you mentioned, it kind of goes to show that, you know, a kid from Windsor can do it.
Yeah, well, you know what? I remember Michael Mulder when he was in high school, and he was such a good, he was a good player. And then, you know, I remember his dad coming to the games, and, you know, he was always with his son, and, you know, he was such a talent that he went right to work for during his college career. And next thing you know, he was in the NBA. So it was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really proud of it, man. It speaks to, Windsor might be a small town, but we got big shoulders, and we try to make sure we make a big imprint on everything.
Absolutely, man. That's a huge accomplishment, obviously, and to make the city proud, right? And if we're going to talk about, like you said, there's guys and girls in every major sport, but he was the first, at least at the time, to make it to that level in more recent years, right? We had people in the NHL, NFL.
He's definitely the biggest name that, you know, you look back at Mike Berkovich. Mike got a look, but he never got a chance to play. He moved on. So Mulder is the first one to actually get in there and stayed a long period of time. I think some years prior to that, in the 60s, 70s, we had a couple kids go, but nobody to his level of Stickham. So, you know, we got to take our hats off to Michael what he's done and accomplished for us, and we all look good because of that.
Absolutely. Like you said, just playing with some of the greatest and securing a spot there is an accomplishment alone. And if we're going to talk about Michael and some of the greats, can't forget, you know, one of the guys that had a huge influence in his career, in Pete Cusumano. I'm sure you know a lot about him.
Yeah, Pete is a great guy. Pete still works with us.
Yeah, I thought
right
so.
Right now he is the, we call him the boss. He's over our game day table, and so he organizes that and makes sure that we have the proper staff in there. So Pete's still involved very much with us. He coached with us at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pete is such a... an element, man. And we got so many more that have taken interest in the growth and development. You know, Jerry Brumpton, Bob Turner, and I could go on and on. I forget his last name. Anyway, his son is at University of Windsor right now. And so, you know, we're watching these guys right in front of us, man. It's only going to get better. And that was the purpose of the Express, was to heighten the level. So when we got here, you know, I'll never forget, some of the kids coming out, we give them access to the court to play, access to pro coaches, pro players, and all those things. All it does is raises the bar for them to say, hey, I can play pro. Matter of fact, I can even play pro in the NBA.
Yep.
And it's working. It's truly working that we have, you know, if you start building million-dollar homes, then everybody's going to want a million-dollar home. You start getting guys playing pro in your city, they're gonna want to play pro, whether it's at the NBA G League level or at the NBA level or our level. It's all pro, and it just raises the bar for the kids, and that is the purpose on the basketball side. And so I'm proud to know that, you know, we can be used as an example for the kids to say, wow, Look, we got a pro team. I'm going to play pro. Whether it's overseas, whether it's in Canada, whether it's in the NBA, I can play pro as well. And that's what our job is with the Express when it comes to basketball, is providing that example so we can raise the bar, so we can send more kids into the wells of basketball. And that's what it's about.
And I love it. I love it. That's what it's all about. You know, you kind of talked about the beginning days of the Express, and although it's been a short time for the franchise, again, kind of a long time, approaching 10 years. So, like you said earlier, some ups and downs at the beginning, some great success. So I'm sure we want to obviously strive to get back to that stage of the game, but those had to have been some great times for you and for the franchise.
Well, you know what? You're 100% right. And I look at our trophies. They can never take those two-time championships away.
Mm-hmm.
They can never take the heated a city away from us. They never can do a lot of those things that we earn. But we must not rest on our laurels. We must continue to strive for better things. You know, I look back at some of the crazy things we did, and we just have to go after more championships. We have to go after different, unique things. You know, we're the only pro team in the world, not in the city, not in the country, but in the world, to play a pro basketball game in a casino. I'm talking about a sanctioned season game. I'm not talking about the an entertainment like the Globetrotters or anything else. We're the only pro organization to play a casino pro basketball game. Now I'm about to tell you something else. University is a Windsor. When we let them play a game before us, they're the only university team to play a not a pro, but a college-sanctioned game in a casino. The girls are the only college team in the world to play in a casino a sanctioned game. So in one day, there are three casino games I played in the casino, but the last one we played in the casino, the fourth one, I let the girls and the boys from University of Windsor play. They were the only team to host a game, and we all three won that game. Now, the teams we play, they can also say, hey, we played in a casino, but they can't say that their market, they hosted it. We got those rights. And so really exciting for another first for Windsor, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just kind of shocking. Most people go, you play in a casino? Yeah, we play in a casino. And we played four times. And it's big for us. And when you look back, you look and see, you know, you start looking at milestones. And I don't even think the casino understands that we should have went to the Guinness Book of World Records with it to do it. And we never got a chance to do it. But that's okay. Maybe we'll play another casino game and we'll get the Guinness Book of World Records here to show that in Windsor was the only team ever to play in a casino.
Making history right from the beginning of this franchise here, man, in Windsor. It's so cool to again, like you kind of mentioned, for it to happen here, for it to happen at home.
Special.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And those games were fantastic. Hopefully, you know, things are looking good to get back on track, and maybe, you know, in the next year or so, that will be a reality again. Because, you know,
we try.
Yeah, of course. Like it's a tough time right now to try to do anything, but. You know, we're going to fast forward a little bit too, obviously, to these days now, you know, 2022. It feels like a lifetime since we've even had basketball games here. But, you know, how's the organization kind of prepping for its return? It's just around the corner.
Well, you know what? We're really, really excited. I can tell you that. And so that energy from the excitement is really driving us to do our best at the planning process. However, COVID has threw a couple of wrenches in, but it has not stopped us from being prepared and ready. We are really, because it's our ninth season and the 10th season of the league, we are really getting all of the different elements in line, from the players to the game day operation to the marketing, the sales, and all of those elements. And so we are in the office and never left the office over the last 90 days. So we are here with a full schedule ready to go, and we're looking, you know, we got the dates moved back. Two dates that were originally in February will be moved to May. And so we just adjusted and flexed to make sure that we don't, these little barriers and different things that pop up, they're not going to stop us from moving forward. Mm-hmm. So, when the Ontario government announced that on the 21st is the time that they'll let, you know, 50% capacity or more in the arena, we just flexed, man. We, you know, we went back to the drawing board, said, hey, there's a couple games we're going to miss. Let's reschedule those. Let's move some of the marketing things around. And that's, you know, on the pro side, when they say, hey, there's no game, there's a lot involved. And so we went to work right away and started to look at what do we have planned on those dates and how do we move it, how do we get other dates, and how do we adjust our marketing, how do we ensure that our sales and all those things are in line. And so I got a very good team. I got two kids from University of Windsor in their business program that are on the sales side. I got a good coaching staff that's adjusted and said, hey, look, players won't come in early. Now we'll move them in and they'll come in on the night. And so we just went to work to make sure that all those things that were already planned were readjusted. And we crossed our T's and dotted our I's, and I think we're going to be good and ready. We got a hell of a set of games. You know, we start on the 26th, then we got four home games in March, five in April, and two in May. And so we just, we're flexible. We get it. You know, sometimes things are not always in stone, and you got to be ready to flex and move in business. And so I've taught these kids some remarkable things, and I give them the helm to run the team. So from the GM down, they really make a lot of decisions. They make good ones, bad ones, they make mistakes, and they have some successes. And I try to guide them on the mistakes and get out of their way with all the other things. So, you know, I'm really excited that we're able to really plan properly. Yeah. You know the old saying, piss poor planning promotes piss poor performance. Mm-hmm. So we really try to focus on the planning process as much as we can, and come up with alternatives in the event or contingency plans to make sure that we can adjust on the fly. And I think being in Windsor, you have to have that flexibility, because you never know what could happen during a season that would have caused you to adjust. So COVID, while tough, we understand that it's something that won't be with us forever. And so you got to plan in and around. You got to think in the box, got to think out the box, and come up with a good formula to move forward.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of used to it now, right? And so we're adapting. We're adapting for sure. But, you know, we talked about it before, kind of, you know, in-game entertainment and fan engagement being a huge part of the aspect of the basketball organization or games, really. Mm-hmm. So is there anything new and exciting for the Express fans that you can reveal yet? Or are we going to see it when we get there?
Put me on the spot. You know, I like to talk, so I'm going to tell everything.
Perfect.
You know, our full training roster is ready, and we will be releasing it to the fans next week, before to the greater community. But more importantly, we signed a kid by the name of Billy White.
Yes.
Billy White's a player that played pro overseas. He has two championships in this league, and he's just a stand-up ball player. And he really, you know, brings excitement. So we're excited about that. But, you know, this season, when you talk about the entertainment, you know, I can tell you this, is that we haven't announced it, but I'm going to tell you for the first time, we already have signed our opening game entertainment. And if you're familiar with some of the bands in the area, we signed a band called Big Wiggle, and they're going to open up for us on the 26th, so we're excited about that. We also, that month of February is Black History Month, so we're going to feature a group called the Rum Runners, yep, who is doing a 19s, 20s, 30s, and 40s event of singers in the Crown Royal Room. And so we're going to have a setting in the Crown Royal Room that looks like an old-fashioned speakeasy. And so some of the older guys will be able to come out and do some things. And then we got some great entertainment throughout the season that we always provide. We got a great dance group this year. Mm-hmm. You know, Maggie is the choreographer. And, boy, she has done a stand-up job the last 3 years, 4 years with the team. You know, it's got recognition from from other choreographers from the U.S. To Canada, and those girls are so professional that, you know, they take their craft serious about professional dancing and things like that. And so they have raised the bar. The players are there, have raised the bar, and so we're excited that the entertainment, the basketball, the dancing, the you name it, is going to be top-notch. We also, this year, have done something. We have this thing called a kids boomer buggy, and it just drives around, right? We have a blimp, we have all those things that on game day that are exciting, but we have this thing that it's a Firestone boomer buggy, and it's a, you know, like a little train, and it drives around. Well, they reinvented this particular vehicle and put a new facelift on it, and we'll be unveiling it at the home opener on the 26th. So that's going to be special. And so, you know, things like that that we can be creative with that engages everyone is what we want to do. And so we also have launched a soda pop for this season for the coach. And coach and Billy White, the player, will be on the pop. It's called Rejuve. And so the guys will be selling that soda at the game. And, you know, for some reason, they didn't pick me to put me on the pop. They picked coach and the player. And I guess I said they don't want any old, uncool guys. They want some cool guys on the pop. So I won't be on that. I'm okay with that. And then, you know, our heart is always, you know, when we talk about new things, you know, our heart has always been with having our own place to play. And so when we look at the old barn and arena, you know, we always have these wishes that it would be renovated and it would be ours to have a home in the downtown core. So, you know, while it's not happening right now, it doesn't mean that in the future someday it won't happen. So our heart is there, and we'd love to see basketball in the downtown core, because it really bridges downtown, the east and west. And that's what basketball is great. In the core, it'd be close to university, it'd be close to the east and west end, a great place in the downtown core. So, you know, we just keep raising the bar and doing things like that. We also have a nonprofit, man. You know, and this nonprofit is what you saw. It's called the Windsor Express Community Sports Association. And that nonprofit is responsible for making sure that number one job is making sure that sports, there's a bridge between the basketball team and the community. And that's what that goal of the WEXA, or Windsor Express Community Sports Association, is. It's that opportunity to make sure that we stay focused on our objective, to make sure that the community is placed first in all our endeavors.
I'm pumped. I'm pumped, man. you did a good job selling that. So I'm glad you brought up the barn, though. That's where I wanted to go next. And I was going to ask, you know, if there was a possibility still in the future. And, you know, what do you think it might take to get that done?
Well, you know what? We put a good foot forward.
Yeah, I agree.
We really presented a big opportunity to the city. We knew it would be a great opportunity for all the businesses and all other community groups and other people that use sports. So we understood that. And so we put out a message. And I think the message should be continually put in the forefront, is that this is a community endeavor. And so as long as that message continues to resonate with everybody, I think at some point, maybe we'll get lucky enough for it to happen. But in regards to what it will take, I think it will take for everybody to see what that effort is. And from our standpoint, the effort and purpose is that that is a community center focused arena that will be able to house several different sports, entertainment, and things that will complement the downtown core. And so when people and politicians and everybody see that that's the true purpose, then I think that's what will drive this opportunity to fruition. So let's just hope and pray and continue to convey the message that that is a community endeavor. The Express and our organization would support that. We'd love to be one of the drivers to do it. So if allowed, we would continue to give our time, effort, energy, money, and everything else to make it happen.
I entirely agree. So I hope it comes to fruition. But of course, the WFCU Center is the home of the Express, and our home opener is just around the corner, as we've been talking about, February 26th against our rival, the London Lightning. And it's a season opener earlier in the week against Sudbury, but February 26th, we're back in business.
Exciting. Exciting. I owe that guy. So the owner of London, we always have a standing bet. If he loses, he gives me a bottle of wine. If I lose, I give him one. And so I think I owe him about 10 bottles right now because, you know, he has 4 championships and we only have 2. So we're trying to catch up and put Windsor in that good light of having 3 championships. And so we're hoping Billy White, the superstar, can drive us down that path along with coaching a good group. So, yes, you're right. On the 26th, we're hoping that we have a great party. We have a great plan to do so. You don't want to miss this because it's bottled up energy, right? Everybody's been kind of stuck in the house, and we're opening that arena up with a free concert on that day for the Big Wiggle. And so they're a great Windsor group that just, they know how to rock the house. And so we figure if we open up our arms and open up our space to everybody, then lo and behold, we may end up in a better place than where we were today.
I'm excited, man. Really looking forward to it. So, yeah, again, like you said, it's just around the corner. But this has been a great chat, talking about kind of the history of Windsor basketball to the Windsor Express and gearing up for the Ball is Back 10th season of the NBL and 9th season for Express. So thank you so much for taking the time to do this, man.
No worries, man. I really appreciate it, man. We've had some great opportunities just to share our messages, so we're humbled all the time when people just see the basic interest of having a chat. So thank you so much for doing what you do. You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job, and just keep it up, man. Just everybody, please tell the message of Windsor. As long as we continue to share our messages and our accomplishments for the city, I think we'll continue to get people to come and love and enjoy what we have over here.
Huge shout out to Dartus Willis for coming on the show and chatting with me about the inception of the Windsor Express, the history of Windsor basketball, and the upcoming 10th season of the NBL of Canada, his kind of history, his background in the league and getting involved, and of course their strive to use the Windsor Arena. I don't know why I blanked on that. The barn. We got to get the barn back. It's sitting there doing nothing. So I talked to another guest that will be coming on next week. I don't know if I really got into detail with Dartus about this, but I always say we'll use the Maple Leaf Gardens as an example. It was a historic building that they could not tear down, but they wanted to move on from. So right in the heart of downtown Toronto, what do you do with it, right? Let it sit there? Of course not. Come on, Windsor. We don't let it sit there. So we know what they did. They made it into a freaking grocery store. But whatever, it's something. And not only that, is it a grocery store on the front main level. Above it is a recreational and university sports complex. You got basketball and volleyball in there on one floor. You got a fitness center on one floor, and you got an ice rink on another. So lots that can be done. And like Dartus said, it's not just, you know, to revamp it and have it as the Windsor Express home and it be a, you know, like the Staples Center or something. This is something that the university can use, that the school boards can use, that local organizations and minor leagues can use, that people can rent just to, you know, play floor hockey or basketball or whatever they want, or pickleball or whatever they want. And from the art renditions, it looks nice. It would be a good idea to have a walking track like the Atlas Tube Center, really bring the downtown core there, replace it with Waterworld and make it a community center, have the Express play there with you know, some adequate seating. And anyway, let's do something with the barn. That's my idea. It's better than nothing. The Express are interested. Dardis can do it. He's got his ways of doing things. So why not, City? Come on. Anyway, I want to tell you guys about something, because this weekend is a big game. If you're listening to this, obviously, you're at least a Windsor Express fan. You're a Windsor person. But you're a sports fan. And I'm sure you're watching the Super Bowl this Sunday. Can't wait for my party. Well, not my party, but my party to go to and have some fun on Saturday. Or Sunday, better yet. I'm going to record the podcast probably a day early to avoid that. But nevertheless, you're probably putting some bets on this game. I'm putting some bets on this game. And if you're going to do that, why not sign up for a new sports book and get some money back? I'm here to tell you about Bet Us. We've partnered with Bet Us. Win City Sports and Bet Us are offering you a 125% bonus when you sign up now and use the code WINCITY. You can find the link in my bio on Drake DeMore's Twitter and Facebook or Instagram, and on Win City Sports Media. Hit our link in our bio and hit the Bet Us offer. Sign up now and get 125% bonus. So if you put $100 in, you're going to get kicked back an extra $25 to bet with on the big day of the big game. Bet on the coin toss, you know. Grab that extra $25 and put it on if what color Snoop Dogg's going to wear or something. You know, you never know. You can make some money by watching some football games. So that's betus.com. You can find the link in my bio and use code WINCITY, WINCITY, all one word, for 125% bonus now. Got some more stuff to tell you about, but of course we want to get caught up with our Windsor Spitfires. We did have two Spitfires games this week, one postponed, and they are coming off a loss, but we'll get started with our first game of the week. That was on Thursday at the WFCU. They welcomed in a number of 500 guests into that game at the WFCU Center, where they defeated the Guelph Storm 5-2 was the final. From there, on Friday night, they headed up to their rival London Knights territory at Budweiser Gardens and fell to that team 5-1, best in their league right now. They are set to be playing today, as I'm speaking, against Sarnia in Windsor. And following that, I guess I won't have an update on the score time or score on this podcast, but check out our Twitter and you'll be able to find that. But nevertheless, they have a couple games coming up. They have a game on Thursday here in Windsor taking on Saginaw, and then Saturday in Windsor again taking on London. Following that, next Friday is our Mickey Reno February 18th game, and I'm waiting to see what they're going to do with that, as it is the last game before more fans can be open or welcomed into the doors of the WFCU Center. And of course, it's a big deal for Windsor people to, you know, be part of this celebration of life for Mickey Reno, as we will talk about a lot next week with our guest. But as of Sunday afternoon, the Spits have dropped a spot in the Western Conference down into fourth, just below London, and they are setting a record of 21-12-2-2. Really not too bad for our Spitfires this year. Going to try and gather up some more news here for you, but of course not a ton of stuff. But with the return of everything pretty much last week out of our timeout, we do have Junior C and Junior B hockey back in action. The Lakeshore Canadians picked up a win on Friday, improving their record to 22-0 this year. That's quite impressive. Soccer fans, I'm sure you've been following the World Cup qualifiers, and holy moly, the Canadian team is doing something special. And that being said, it could really help the game grow in Canada and Ontario. And as you might have heard, we potentially have a Canadian Premier League team coming to Windsor. I actually caught some game on TV not too long ago on Friday, following the All-Star game, because there's nothing else to watch. But that could be interesting, you know, to have some more professional sports teams in Windsor. A few athletes from the Essex Ravens have been named to the 2021-22 Football Ontario's All-Ontario team for under 18. We have Liam Broderick representing the Ravens, along with Darian Bassick Haddon, as well as Joe Fillion. I'm just messing up everyone's name today. And finally, John Paul LePan
representing our Essex Ravens at the under 18 All Ontario team. And it looks like that's it this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. So I don't think I missed anything else too important. But my name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here every Monday with a brand new episode of the podcast featuring an interview with a local athlete, coach, entrepreneur, and more. Windsor's only local sports podcast, Wind City Sports, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere podcasts are found. Give us a like, follow, subscribe on any social media you might use at @WindCity_sports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also give us a subscribe on our YouTube channel, the Wind City Sports YouTube channel. And give us a review. Tell your friends. Spread the word of Wind City Sports. Over 5 years going strong, 243 episodes or more. The bonus episode as well in there. Just spread the word. Give us a nice review. Let us know what you think, who you want to have on the show, any changes, anything. Let us know some feedback about the Wind City Sports podcast and review it anywhere you can. You can also follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram @DrakeDeMore. But until next time, smell you later.